pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, Amigdashi Tira'u, is a mitzvah Moira HaMigdash. Abeis HaKnesses, the Gemara says, is a Migdash Me'at. The Nabim said Benavuah towards the end of the Bais Rishon period that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the Beis HaMigdash, going to send the Jewish people into Golus. And even though they'll be into Golus, they'll have the miniature Beis HaMigdash there. So the Gemara says in the end of Megillah, that's a reference to the Batik when he sees the Batim Midrash Shabbavavavavav. So that's why there isn't a din of Moira Beis HaKnesses, there's a din of Kovid Beis HaKnesses. Moira HaMigdash means Kovid square. Extra special degree of Beis HaMigdash. And Beis HaKnesses is a Migdash Miyad, so there's a din of Kovid Beis HaKnesses. One of the din of Kovid Beis HaKnesses is you're not allowed to talk Sicha Betela, anything other than Torah or Tfilah. So the Gemara says there's an exception to the rule, Tzorchei Rabin. If you need a public tzorech and there's no other big room to have it, so you're allowed to have it in the shul. So the Gemara says on one occasion a woman died and they needed, and she was very well known in the community, so they needed a big room to deliver a hesped, so they allowed them to say the hesped in the Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses because it was a tzorchei rabin. Yeah. What about to take the Oren into the Beis HaKnesses? Is that permissible? So in Shulchan Aruch it says, if it's a gon ve'aluf, if it's an outstanding Talmud Chacham, then it's not considered a bizayon Beis HaKnesses to take the Oren, to take the mace into the Beis HaKnesses. So the Chayodam complains that people are mezalz on the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Everybody talks Sicha B'Tela. The Arizal wouldn't hold a drasha in the Beis HaKnesses because he was afraid he would crack a joke. He would say a line in the middle of the drasha that didn't belong. He was afraid of Sicha B'Tela in the middle of the drasha. So if he needed big room, it's a tzorchei rabin, so you're allowed to deliver the hesped. But to take the mace in, so the Chayodam complains that any rabbi, Tom, Dick, and Harry, Rabbi Tom, Rabbi Dick, Rabbi Harry, any person that dies, so they say you're allowed to take the Oren into the Beis HaKnesses. He says it's not right. He says, my mechutin was the Vilna Gaon, that's what he writes. So when he passed away, he was a Gaon Valuf. Gaon Valuf means an outstanding Talmud Chacham, one of the Gdoli Hador. So his Oren they were allowed to take into the Beis HaKnesses, but otherwise not right. You're not supposed to take the Oren into the Knesses. I remember when my father passed away a few years ago, so there was a question whether they should have, they were going to have, my father taught in the yeshiva, so they're going to have the haspedim here in the yeshiva. The question is, were they going to have it in the Lampert Auditorium or in the Beis HaMedrash? So we made up if they're going to have it, if there's going to be a small crowd, so you don't have it in the Lampert Auditorium, it'll be 90% empty, it'll be a bizoyer amaze. So you have it in the Beis HaMedrash. But if you're going to have it in the Beis HaMedrash, then we were going to leave the Aron outside. But then, as it turned out, so many people showed up, there wasn't enough room in the Beis HaMedrash for all of the people. So then we took the Aron into Lampert Auditorium, because Lampert Auditorium doesn't have a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Years ago, they used to daven there in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But they didn't have a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses because of that. That was Bikroi. There were so many Jews living in the neighborhood who never came to shul all year long. The Beis HaMedrash, the old Beis HaMedrash, the minyan every Shabbos, every day there's a minyan of Balabatim every day, Shachas Mincha Ma'ariv, they used to learn Mishnayis every day between Mincha and Ma'ariv. And on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there were throngs that people would come to Lampud. But Lampud was miyuchad as an auditorium, it wasn't miyuchad as a Beis HaKnesses. So they took the Oren in there. But that's not right, to take an Oren of someone who's not going Baluf into the Beis HaKnesses, that's not right.
Does Rabbi Beis HaMedrash have a dinner with Beis HaKnesses?
The Beis HaMedrash in Gluck was not built as a Beis HaMedrash.
I mean, is that at the din of like the same Kedusha? Isn't the Gemara in Brachos like Mechalak between the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaMedrash?
There are differences. Is the Ika purpose davening, is the Ika purpose learning, right? So we pointed out in a Beis HaKnesses, you have an elevated platform for the Kriyas HaTorah, just like the Torah was given on top of Har Sinai. So in a Beis HaKnesses also, the rest of the shul is miyuchad for tefillah, and the elevated bima b'emtza, the bima is like the top of Har Sinai. But a Beis HaMedrash, you don't need an elevated platform. The whole Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for learning. So the whole Beis HaMedrash isn't like on top of Har Sinai. The whole thing is miyuchad for learning. So the old Beis HaMedrash and this Beis HaMedrash, the Iker is for learning, not for davening. We're allowed to daven also, but the Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to learn also. But the Iker of the Beis HaKnesses is for davening, the Iker of the Beis HaMedesh is for learning. The difference is Lahokal Lahachmer. Beis HaMedesh, Beis HaKnesses, each one has chumris and kulis, because of the fact that that's miyuchad for davening, and this is miyuchad. The Gemara says, Machloik is Rabbi Yechonim and Shulman and Levi. In the end of Megillah, which has a higher level of Kedusha? Can you convert a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedesh and the other way not? Or no? Dafke, this way not. The Gemara, they don't have the same level of Kedusha. One is Miyuchad for learning, one is Miyuchad for davening. So the Gemara has a Machlokes, and the Gemara assumes a Dovah Pashat. They don't demonstrate why. The Gemara assumes a Dovah Pashat. The din is like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that a Beis HaMedesh has a higher level of Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses. So you're permitted to convert a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedesh. That's called Malam HaKodesh. But you're not permitted to convert a Beis HaMedesh into a Beis HaKnesses. That's called Maridim. So even though the Beis HaMedesh has a higher level of Kedusha, you have certain kulas in the Beis HaMedesh that you don't have in the Beis HaKnesses. But since the Beis HaMedesh is miyuchad for learning, so if you have boys learning in the Beis HaMedesh, they want to have a drink. They want to have a nash. So you tell them, walk across the street to the store and buy a nash. So he has to be mevatel 5 minutes to walk there, 5 minutes to walk back, and until he pays for the whole ASIC. So we allow him to eat a little bit in the Beis HaMedrash, because that's going to help his learning. The eating in the Beis HaMedrash will enhance his learning. But let's say he's a little tired, so he wants to put his head down to take a nap. You're not supposed to take a nap in a shul or in the Beis HaMedrash. So if you tell a guy who's learning, go home and take a nap, and then come back till he goes home, it'll take 10 minutes. Till he comes back, it'll take 10 minutes. Then he's going to pick up the mail. It'll be a whole ASIC. It'll waste the whole time. So he say, take a nap in the Beis HaMedrash. That will enhance your learning. So the coolest that you have in the Beis HaMedrash, not because Beis HaMedrash is a lower level of Kedusha, the reverse. Beis HaMedrash is a higher level of Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses. But because the Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for learning, and taking a little nap and having a little nibble of food in the Beis HaMedrash will enhance their ability to learn. They'll learn more. It'll gain more minutes of learning. So that's why, that's the purpose of the Beis HaMedrash is for learning. So that's why it's mutar. But this is not really right. Mr. and Mrs. Gruss were the biggest supporters of Torah in our generation. They gave, first Mrs. Gruss passed away, then Mr. Gruss passed away later. So I remember when Mrs. Gruss passed away, so the funeral took place in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. So they had representatives of all of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, very tiny. Not such a big shul. Hardly any room for anybody there. So Dr. Lamb said it has been, and a few people, representatives of different institutions said it has been. I remember I went. I thought he increased everybody's salary in the yeshiva significantly. So I felt I owed a debt of gratitude to Mrs. Gruss. I went to the funeral. So I remember the one, there was a Rabbi Weinberg who used to speak on the radio for Lubavitch. He used to teach Tanya in English, I think. So he delivered it, maybe still does, I don't know. So he delivered a hesped then. So he quoted a Maimon Chazal, Ein Adoyim Meshoyna Pirka Me'er Pamim Meshoyna Pirka Me'er Pamim Va'achas. So he said that Mr. Gruss, he said Beremiza, he didn't say explicitly, he said Mr. Gruss had given already $100 million for Limud HaTorah to all the different Moisdas all over the world. And the week before his wife died, he gave Me'er Pamim Va'achas. He gave the 101st million dollar that it should be a schus for his wife, she should have a refuah, and then Nebuch, she passed away. So he was mentioning how much money they gave for supporting of Torah. So when she passed away, they used to daven apparently in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. So Rabbi Sal Roth showed me, I used to share the office with Rabbi Sal Roth across the street. So he showed me the letter. I don't know why, they asked the Shaila Rabbi Pinchas Sprung, who used to be the Rav Ha'ir in Montreal. He was a big, big Tomachoch. So they asked him, can they take the Orin into the Beis HaKnesses of Mrs. Gruss? So he said, no, they should only take the Orin into the Ezra's Noshim. The Ezra's Noshim there is upstairs. So as it turned out, the elevator, the logistics were such that it just couldn't work. They couldn't bring the Orin into the Ezra's Noshim upstairs. So they brought it into the shul. So that's exactly what he said you shouldn't do, that you're not supposed to do. He said the Ezra's Noshim has a lower level of Kedusha than the Azar, than the shul. That's what Mishnah Berurah says like that. Because the shul miyuchad, the shul corresponds to the azar and the Beis HaMikdash and the Ezra's Noshim. The Beis HaMikdash had kedushas harabais; they didn't have kedushas azar. Because ain yeshiva b'azara el malchid b'ez David b'alvat. No one's allowed to sit in the azar. So if they would have done the women a favor to be mekadosh the Ezra's Nashim, it would have been a disservice to them, because half the time the women are nursing or are pregnant, so they have to sit. It's too difficult to stand. The men were not allowed to sit in the Azar. No one's allowed to sit unless you're a melech from the Malchut Beis David. Even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit in the Azar. And the Ezra's Nashim, you're permitted to sit. So they did the women a favor. That's how Rashi says on the Gemara. Rashi interprets the Gemara like that. They did with the women a favor not to be mekadosh the Ezra's Nashim. The women today might complain. It's not fair, they're cheating the women. So Rashi explained, no, they did them taiva. The women today, they're not interested in becoming pregnant, not interested in nursing. But in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, half of the women were either pregnant or nursing. So it would be very difficult for them to stand. So they wanted them also to have an opportunity to come to the Ezra's Nashim and to sit. So that's why they were never mekadosh the Ezra's Nashim. So that's why we assume the different parts of the shul are parallel, are mechuben keneged, the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So we assume that the men's section in the shul has a higher level than the women of kedusha than the women's section. That's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes the classical achrayim say, let's say you built a shul and you need more room after years. You need more room in the women's section. There's extra room in the men's section. There's not enough room in the women's section. Are you allowed to do it over and move over the mechitza to take a section from the men's section and convert it into the women's section? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the classical pasuk that this is a problem because malam hakodesh v'lo marid. So there's a solution. He tells you the solution. They asked once Rabbi Soloveitchik. He said also the same solution that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. For Nachrayim, a whole complicated story. How do you do that? But you're not allowed to do it stam like this. So that's what Rabbi Hirschsprung told them, that they shouldn't, they're not supposed to take the Arvin into the shul. They should take the Arvin into the women's section, which has a lower level of Kedusha's base. For men also, yeah. Even for rabbis also, only Goyen Va'aluf. My father was a Talmud Chachmer. I didn't think he was Goyen Va'aluf like the Vilna Goyen. I didn't think he was a Goyen Va'aluf. So that's what I made up with Dr. Lamb, I remember. If the Hespedim will be in the base of Medrash, in the old base Medrash, then they'll leave the Arvin outside. In the Hearst, and if the Hespedim will be in Lampert Auditorium, then they'll bring it into the auditorium. The auditorium didn't have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. When Ben Gurion came to visit, there used to be, when they founded Medina Yisrael, the prime minister's name was Mr. Ben Gurion. He was a real apikoros. He writes in his autobiography that he didn't believe in God. Could it be that he was a liar? Probably did believe in God because he was always quoting Tanakh in the Knesset and all of his speeches. That's what he said. That was his shtick. He didn't believe. He was an atheist. So when he came to the yeshiva, so Dr. Belkin with Rabbi Soloveitchik met with him. He wasn't wearing a yarmulke. Lahachasnik. He had a show. He wasn't even respected him. He didn't wear a yarmulke. But Dr. Belkin wasn't a kanoi. Rabbi Soloveitchik also. Dr. Belkin knew how to convince people softly. So they had a big, they were going to have him speak in the auditorium, Lampert Auditorium. So they walked in. So in Lampert Auditorium, there's an Aron Kodesh in the front. And they daven there 3 days a year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So Dr. Belkin gave him a yarmulke. And he said, this is a Beis HaKnesses. You see, Aron Kodesh, you have to wear a yarmulke. He put on a yarmulke. It wasn't a Beis HaKnesses. It was an auditorium. That was his way of getting him to put on a yarmulke. And they walked into the auditorium. Okay. Yeah.
The fact that it's
about the Knesset of the Bavel make a difference? The Gemara says, they made a Tanai that you're allowed to use it for other purposes as well. So most of the Rishonim assume that Al Tanai means Bichurbanim. After it's no longer used as a Beis HaKnesses, then you have more kulos. But Bibinyonim not. So that's why we're supposed to be Machmed Bibinyonim. There's an Al Tanai Shul. Where's the Al Tanai Shul?
Prague.
So it's a question, what do you mean? It's usually going to be the old new shul, Alt Noi. They say they built a new shul, so that was known as a new shul. Then when they built a new shul, so the other one was known as the old new shul. The old new shul. This, now the third shul was the new shul. And the old one that used to be known as the new shul was now the old new shul. So that's how they usually assume that it's Alt Noi. And others claim, no, that was a mistake. Al Tanai. All the shuls in the world are Al. All the shuls in Chabot and Knesset Shebechutz Lords are Al Tanai. Al Tanai. Ayin Lamed. Tanai. Tuf Nun Al Yud. Not Aleph Lamed Tes. Al Noi. Al Tanai. That's what some claim. It's probably the old new shul. The Posh Bishat is the first Bishat. It's the old new shul. The historians say it like that. When they built the third shul, then they called the second shul the old new shul. Bereshis Bara Elokim. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a whole world. He created Es HaShamayim Es HaOretz. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Bereshis, what was the tachlis of the Bria? What was the purpose of the Bria? So Rashi quotes, Reshis Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reshis Tevu Asai. And the Torah is referred to, Am Yisrael is called Reshis, and the Torah is referred to as Reshis in Sefer Mishlei. So Bereshis Bor Elokim means the tachlis of the Bria was Bishvil Yisrael and Bishvil HaTorah. That was the tachlis, the whole goal. We have two Mishnayos in the first parak in Pirkei Avos, which seem to contradict each other. The Bar Tanur points out, all the Mefarshim point out, the one Mishnah says, Al Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Amin, Al Adin V'Al HaChesed. How does it say? I forgot already. Din Emes and Shalom. And the earlier Mishnah says, Al Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Amin, Al Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam, Al Tal Vavar Al Minas Chassadim. So which is it? So the Bar Tanur says that it's not a contradiction. They're two different things. What's supposed to be the tachlis of the Bria? It's the first medrash on Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah. The whole tachlis of the Bria is Bishvil HaTorah, Bishvil Yisrael. Then the other Mishnah, Shlosh Adorim Ha'olam Kayam, what enables the world to continue to exist? That's what the tachlis is. The tachlis, Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasanim. What enables the world to function is al emes val din val shalom. If you're not going to have emes, din and shalom, so the whole world is going to collapse. But that's not the tachlis of the Bria. The tachlis is bishvil Torah or bishvil Yisrael. The Medrash points out what the Apikursim think that they discover in America, that the whole, in Maisa Bereshis, it keeps on saying Elokim. The Ribbono Shel Olam Kedet says Elokim, until you get to a later point when it says Hashem Elokim, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So they made a whole Torah out of this, that the Torah is a composite of different manuscripts. One manuscript is said Elokim, one manuscript is said Hashem, and somebody combined the two together. The Torah is a composite of different manuscripts. That's what the Gemara points out in the first perek in Chagiga. There's a long sugi about that. That sometimes the Chumash introduces it in Vada Mashal Moshe Behar Sinai Lema. Sometimes Davashal Moshe Me'oil Moed Lema. Sometimes Davashal Moshe Me'arvis Moed Lema. So the Gemara says in Chagiga, Holsugia, Kol HaTorah Kula was given to Moshe Rabbeinu three times. It was first given in Har Sinai, everything was given in Har Sinai with one text, then everything was given again in Oil Moed, in Arboim Shon and Moed, then everything was repeated again. And Arvis Mayav, right before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam said, now it's time to pick and choose. So take, first use text A for this parsha, then use text B, then use text C. Why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the whole Torah in three different texts is a mystery. We don't know. The Gemara has there a big machlokes hatanoim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Rashi and Chumash quotes the position of Rabbi Akiva, beginning of Parshas Bahar. So he says that all of the dinim, kol haTorah kula was given, kol haSeh, prat haSeh, dik tukeh, everything from A to Z was given all three times, at Har Sinai, in Oel Moed, and in Arbis Moed. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Kol haTorah kula was given all the details, but in a different version. And the Chumash, as we have it, is a composite. Sometimes the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, now it's time to put together a whole Torah, so sometimes use that text, sometimes use this text. According to Rabbi Kiva, we don't understand why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give three different versions of Kol HaTorah Kula if all the three versions had exactly the same maskanas, everything was the same. According to the other Tana, Rabbi Shmuel, you understand very well. Rabbi Shmuel says in Har Sinai a sketchy outline was given of all of the mitzvahs, but not all the details. Some mitzvahs are Bishlei Musim at Har Sinai, some of them only given in sketchy outline form. Then in an Oel Moed during the 40 years, not everything was repeated with a different version. Those that were only given a sketchy outline the first time were given more details then. And sometimes the third version was different from the second version because more details were given. Okay? So if you say more details were given the second time, more details were given the third time, so you understand why there was a need for a second version and a third version. The Baruch Shalom hadn't given everything the first time. But if you say the way Rabbi Akiva says that, Kolala, Kolala, Tarukula, Kolala, Seh, Prataseh, Dik, Dikel, that's the famous Rashi, he's quoting Rabbi Akiva at the beginning of Parshas Bahar. So the Chazon Ish writes, we don't understand. Why was it given with three different versions? But this is Yadua. This is Yadua. The Gemara says, any Dvar Sheker that doesn't have B'tchilosa Mikta Semes, Ein Lokiyam, is not going to stand. People are going to realize the whole thing is Sheker. That's why the Miraglim said, Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful place. However, Ephes, Kiyazom, if they wouldn't have said any Mikta Semes in the beginning, so Rashi HaChumash quotes from the Gemara like that, no one would have believed the Miraglim, because they started off with the Mikta Semes. So that's why these are Pikursim. They start off with the Mikta Semes, that the Torah as we have it is a composite of three different texts, which is true. That's what it says in the Chumash. Adam HaShem Moshe v'har Sinai Lema. Adam HaShem Moshe v'yol Moy Lema. Adam HaShem Moshe v'yar V'smoy Lema. The Chumash is a composite of three different texts, as is in the Chumash, as the Gemara says. But not the way they say. All the three texts were dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then at the end of the Abayim Shah, Kadosh Baruch Hu told them how to put them in order, when to use text A, when to use text B, when to use text C. So the Apikursim say that that's why it says Elakim, and the other text is said Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then when they put it together, they sometimes wrote this, sometimes wrote that. We have a tradition why it says Elakim and Hashem.
Just a question, like, let's say, like, not like the Dinim, but like the stories in the Tanakh, like things that happen, let's say Korah,
the Adosa,
like, how is that, like, how could, like, let's say you say it was all given
at Harsina,
how could it be that, like, things that didn't happen yet were, like, written down? Like,
no, the Ramban writes in the Hakdama that it's clear that not everything was given at Harsina. Pesach Sheni was not given till later, and the details of Yerusha were not given till later. I mean, generally speaking, everything was given, but it's clear from the Chumash that some of the things were not given. So the stories that didn't happen were clearly not given at Harsina.
Those were written at Arvos Moav?
Probably. That was dictated by Ismail, yeah. The one who's given Har Sinai wasn't necessarily given in the same order that we have it. Moshe Rabbeinu either wrote it down or didn't write it down. The Gemara has a discussion, but it was given to him word for word and letter for letter. Those that were given word for word and letter for letter.
Isn't Rabbi Kiva's opinion connected by the Gemara in Sanhedrin? It says that the B'nai Tzlachad, that there was a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't know the Zidim of inheritance?
Right, that's what the Ramban points out in the Hagdama. That's what we just said. That it's clear from the Chumash, Gufa, that not everything was given Hasina. Some of the details were given later. He said the historical Parshias couldn't have been given Hasina. That didn't happen yet. Happened later. Yeah. So what does it mean, Taki Elokim? So the Medrash says, Elokim means Midas Hadin. Everything is going to be with Din. Then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam HaRishayin, so he says he saw human beings can't survive if you're going to go to Midas Adin. So Shitefima Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Midas HaChesed. Shitefima Midas HaChesed. And that's why it says B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim. After Adam HaRishon is created, that's when it says Hashem Elokim Yud Kei Vav Kei. You need a combination. Hashem Elokim. You have a little Midas Adin and a little bit Midas HaChesed. That's called Rachamim. Chesed means all the way extreme chesed, and din means all the way chesed gvura. And teferis is rachmim. Rachmim means a combination of din and chesed. I remember when they first landed man on the moon. So the people of Meir Shorim were very shaken up. They didn't believe it. They were showing videos of man landing on the moon. They couldn't believe it. Because the Pasuk says, Shamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Laoretz, Nasan, Avnei Adam. And the Gemara in the beginning, we just discussed it yesterday, the Gemara beginning of Sukkah says that Me'olam, Le'olam, Le'or, Deshchina, Lamata, Me'asar, Tvachim, because Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, the first 10 Tvachim above the ground, Amitzur, to the ground, V'harai, from Ein Tchum, L'mali, Me'asara, and Rishus, Rabim, is only Oyle up until 10 Tvachim, and Carmel is only Oyle up until 10 Tvachim. Above 10 Tvachim is Machim Tur. So the Shechina never, Hashamayim Shamayim Hashem, the Shechina never came down within 10 Tvachim to the ground. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe all Olam Morim, what do you mean he went up? He went up to the sky. So the Gemara says his feet were, that's how the Gemara seems to imply, his feet was not on the ground on top of Har Sinai. His feet were above the ground. He was floating in the air, but his feet were Lamata Me'asar. Because Me'olam La'ola Moshe Lamayla Me'asar, Me'olam La'yod Shechina Lamata Me'asar. So they couldn't believe it. How can man land on the moon? It's against the pasuk. Hashemayim, Hashemayim, Hashem. Or it's not something other. Based on the understanding that the superficial understanding that seems to be from that Gemara, the beginning of Sukkah. So one of the rabbanim from Meir Shorim used to always come to collect money in America. I think his name was Scheinberger. I forgot already. He's the one who wrote the biography of the Maharil Diskin that's called Hasorah Mibrisk. Then he wrote the other Swarm as well. So he always used to come to collect money for the Aniyim and Meishorim. So they say he once came to Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik said, well, I'm going to give you money, and you're going to use my money to hang up things to attack me. So he says, with a straight face, no, that we have a different fund for that. This is only for me. So Rav Soloveitchik gave him $1,000 check. So he went to Mo Feuerstein, in Boston, so he asked him to give. So he said, well, I'm going to support them. So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik gave me a check. So he couldn't believe it. He called the Rabbi Soloveitchik. He said, yeah, the money's for Anim. Okay. His grandson goes around the world now. He makes a Reuven. His grandson is the one who wrote Eshed HaNachal, a separate sefer on each perik and maseches Erevin. He's an expert. He made the Erevin in London. He made the Erevin in different communities. Anyway, so he met with Rav. They used to talk together about Hashkafa. So he told Rav Soloveitchik that they're all shaken up. They're losing. They can't believe that man landed on the moon. It's against the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik told him the Ramban. Then it says Bereishis Barlekim Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz. And then it continues to describe the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's all part of Haaretz. Shemayim means the Olam Haruchni. The word Shem means heavens and it means the sky. So when planes go above the clouds, the plane is Bashamayim. It's in the sky, but the plane is not Bashamayim, it's not in the heavens. The heavens is the Olam Haruchni is with the Malachim. That's not discussed. The first Pasuk in Chumash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Olam HaGashmi and the Olam Haruchni, and the rest is a description. HaShamayim, Shamayim HaShamayim is the Olam Haruchni, it says Lashem. The Gemara in Sukkah doesn't say that. That's why they were bothered, because the Gemara doesn't say like that. But Rav Soloveitchik said he thinks that the Posh Pshat and the Pasuk is like the Ramban says on the opening Pasuk here. Hashamayim, Shamayim, Hashem means that the Olam Haruchni is for the Baruch Hu. And human beings are the Olam HaGashmi. And the sun, the moon, and the star, this is all part of Haaretz. It's not part of Shamayim.
I think Rashi says, like, wrong, that by Avraham Avinu that Hashem took him, it's just like, Me'al L'Rakia or something. So, like,
right.
So isn't that a ride that you could go above, like, in other words, that seems to go against the
Moshe Rabbeinu. Seems to go against that
Gemara and Sukkah. Right. Say, like, means I'll be like above the mazalos or something, but it doesn't seem to say that. It seems to say like he actually took him above like, the world or whatever.
Yeah. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. So he thanked Rabbi Soloveitchik and he called him up to Meir Shorim to calm them down. That he told him over Rabbi Soloveitchik's job. Based on the Ramban.
Did they run bothered by airplanes?
I don't know. Same kasha by the airplanes, yeah.
This happened with Taino. He said that they never land on the moon because the few rockets
connected
by
the Yafo and the Geobot. Yeah. After they landed on the moon, so Rabbi Gorin was always clever. He was a sensationalist. So they quoted him in the newspapers, you can no longer say any Yafo and the Geobot. You have to say the any no Geobot. You shouldn't say any Yafo and the Geobot because we can't be no Geobot. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset about Rabbi Gorin's sensationalist attitude. He was very entertaining. Rabbi Gorin was very entertaining. I remember before he was the chief rabbi, when he was the chief chaplain in the army, so after the Sinai campaign, it was the Sinai campaign years ago, and the British were so angry at the Israeli government because they didn't notify them in advance that they were going to take over Sinai. So they stopped supporting the Medina Yisrael. So after they stopped, in the United Nations, after they stopped supporting, then Britain lost its status. It used to be one of the world powers. They were no longer a world power. That's what Rabbi Dov Lior, people know who he is. Huh? For he used to be in Kiryat Arba. He used to be one of the Rashi Kiryat Arba. He's a very kanoi. He's a big kanoi. He's a character, personality. He's a very interesting person. Rabbi Dov Lior said, the government in Eretz shouldn't be nervous about what they're going to say in America. The minute America will stop supporting Denis Yisrael, it'll happen to them like what happened to France and England. France and England used to be world powers. Then when they stopped supporting Denis Yisrael after the Sinai campaign, so they lost their status as world powers. So the same will happen to America if they're not going to support Denis Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Lior thinks. Okay. Yeah, but Rabbi Gurin was when he was the chief chaplain, so he came to speak in the yeshiva, so he, every talk was more exciting than the previous one. He was a very colorful person. He was a sensationalist. He always wanted to get into the newspapers to say something clever. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset. He said, "Any Yochel Gartma means the way I'm standing now, I can't touch the moon. We're standing on the earth and saying Kiddush Levon." So right now, it doesn't mean it's physically impossible to touch the moon. It means where I am now, Any Yochel Gartma. You don't have to change the nusach in the negevach.
Menachem Mendel Kasher said that in Boshul HaLevona is like where it says about like in Tal Mashiach, or like it's like that's like the moon landing, that like being like mevazet the Levona by being able to like land on it.
Okay. He was also a colorful person. Yeah.
How is what the Rav said Miashi Lemar and Sopas?
Don't know, he said. But the Pshut Ushan Mikra means like the Ramban said. Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem means the Olam Haruchni. We don't have any entree there. Boretz Nosan Levedi Adam, the sky is part of Oretz. Everything in Bereshis, everything the Torah describes over here is all Oretz. It's not Shamayim. Torah says originally, we assume that Rabban Shalom created the world Yesh Meyayin. This is nothing can be created nor destroyed. You can only change matter from one state to another. Those are the rules of Teva, but this was Lamada Mana Teva. The whole creation was a nest. It was Yesh Meyayin. Everything was Yesh Meyayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yesh Meyayin. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, B'Tzelem Elokim. So the Meshech Chochma quotes from the Mabit Sefer Beis Elokim. Mabit was in the Bezdin and Tzfat together with the Beis Yosef in the 1500s. So the Beis Elokim has a sort of Sefer about Hashkofa. So he writes that Tzelem Elokim means Bechira Chavshis, that man has the ability to make a decision, Yesh Meyayin, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam has the ability to create a miracle. The Chukei HaTeva, our matter cannot be created nor destroyed, just change it from one state to the other. But the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Yesh Meyayin. There was nothing there. There was Ayin before, so he created Yesh Meyayin. So too, man has the ability, we don't have the ability to create Yesh Meyayin, we have the ability to make a decision, Yesh Meyayin. A person has the ability, he doesn't have the right to. Chiru Chashi doesn't mean you have the right to choose to do Averis. You don't have the right to choose. Some crackpot Rabbanim thought that that's Pshat and Chiru Chashi. Man has the right to choose whether to do. Man has the ability to choose to do Averis. He does not have the right to choose to do Averis. Not allowed to do Averis. But we have the ability to choose. Some people feel that when I choose to do an Avera, I'm exercising my Tzelem Elokim in a stronger way. When a person listens to Rabban Shalom, so he's using his Bechira Chavshis to listen to orders. When a person is such a knacker, he's going to go against the wish of Rabban Shalom. He's really exercising. He's exercising more so his Tzelem Elokim, his ability to do Bechira Chavshis. He even chooses to do against the Rabban Shalom. This is true. He's exercising his Tzelem Elokim. It's a stronger demonstration of Tzelem Elokim, but it's a stupid demonstration. It's a stupid. In American Jewish folklore, they used to tell a story about the henpecked husband that the wife invited some neighbors over to play canasta. It used to be a quad game, canasta, years ago. It doesn't exist anymore. So they ring the bell, and the wife says, "Morris, answer the door." So Morris goes and he answers the door. Then they're sitting and they're talking, so she screams up, "Marius, go to the kitchen and bring the drinks." He brings the drinks. Then everything, she keeps going, "Marius, do this," and Marius, the husband, does everything. Then she's going to show the guests, they're playing card. Then she's going to go to the guest how she balabatted is over her husband. So she screams, "Marius, crawl under the table." So the husband crawls under the table and he stays there. The 5 minutes go by and the wife says, "Okay, Marius, he can come out now." So he stays under the table. So they wait a few minutes, still staying under the table. Then she says, "Morris, you can come out." So he sticks his finger out and he says, "I'm not going to come out. I'm going to show you who's boss." That's a Yiddish joke that they used to say when I was a little boy. That was the joke that they said. That's what it means over here. I'm going to show the Rebbe Shalom who's the boss. I have the Chira Chavshis. I'm going to show him I can go against his wishes. The Rebbe Shalom created the world, created a beautiful world. And the Rabban Shalom took around Adam Arishan. The Medrash says on the Pasuk Koheles, that the Rabban Shalom showed about admiration. See my beautiful world. Be careful that you don't mekalkal it. Don't do averis. You're going to ruin the world. We can show him who's boss. We can sit under the table all night long. That's a stupid demonstration of who's boss. We can show him who's boss by destroying his world, by doing averis. That's not a productive way of exercising your tzel malakim. A productive way, a valuable way of demonstrating tzel malakim is by doing mitzvahs. That's what the Rabban Shalom told the Marishan. If you're going to do averis, you're going to ruin the whole world. Yeah. We assume that Bereshis, the whole tachlis of the Bria, was Bishvil Yisrael and Mishvil Bereshis. The Mesilas Hashem writes in the Hakdom, he quotes, the Pasuk says, Vayetz Yankim Be'er Shavam, Vayelech Aronim, when he ran away from Esav. So it says, Vayikach Me'abni Hamokam, Vayasem Erash Esav. So the Gemara in Chulin, Perikin Anoshe, so the Gemara says there seems to be a contradiction in the Psukim. On the one hand, it says, Vayikach Me'abni Hamokam, he took several stones. Then it says, Vayasem, Esaeben Ashes, how does it sound? One time it says Avne Hamokim, one time it says Evan. So the Ibn Ezra doesn't really see what the contradiction is. It took one of the stones. And then the Evan Asher Samer Ashes, there was one Evan. That's the Pashup Shot. So the Gemara doesn't understand it like that. The Gemara says that there were several Avonim, and the Avonim were fighting with each other. Each one wanted Alay Anir Tzadik Rosh, Alay Anir Tzadik Rosh. Each Evan wanted to serve in Avodas Hashem. Each Evan wanted to help out the Tzadik Yankov Avinu to serve as his pillow. So then the Rabban Shalom caused a nes, and they all blended in together, all of the Avonim, and they turned out to be one Evan. So what does this mean? So that's what the Mesilas Yerushalayim says. The Rabban Shalom created the whole Bria, Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil Torah. So all of nature yearns to be involved in Avodas Hashem. Should have a taklis for its Bria. Otherwise, the Rabban Shalom created it, it's a waste. He made Avonim, and they don't serve any purpose at all. So all the Avonim yearn, the Avonim are not, they don't have Seichel, but all of Bria yearns in a certain sense to be involved in Avodas Hashem. So that's why the Rabban Shalom made a nest, that all the Avonim together should serve. In Yiddish folklore, they tell a story about the Tzaddik. Yiddish folklore is very rich. It's humorous. But it's rich in kabbalah, rich in ideas also. So they tell in folklore, they tell a story. A big tzaddik sat down on a chair that had holes on it. What do you call it? Crisscross.
Wicker
chair, like that. And it was weak, so he fell through. Made a big hole, he fell through. So they're trying to understand what was the mifus that happened over there. Mifus was he weighed 250 pounds. And the chair wasn't for him? Okay. When I sit down in the chair, sometimes I break it because I'm overweight. Okay. I'm such a tzaddik also. So the chassidim said, no, it must be that all of the holes were fighting alay aniach tzaddik is gufa alay aniach. So Rabban Shalom caused all the holes to join together, like the mifus by Yankov Avinu, and then it made one big hole and he fell through. That's based on the medrash that Rashi quoted. I remember around 50 years ago, there was a Ger Rebbe who passed away. I don't know too much about the Ger. So I remember after he passed away, so they published, one of the Israeli newspapers published a special magazine all about this Ger Rebbe. So they sold different things. I remember one point stands out in my mind, that there was a Ger Chassid who was a Sofer. And the Gemara says that you have to write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah on parchment from Or Behema Tehoira. It has to be Menamuta Beficha. But if you have hide from Or Behema Tehoira, but it happens to be in the Veil or Trefa, that's okay. As long as the Min is a Min Torah. You can't use hide that you made into parchment from a horse or from a pig or something like that, but from a cow. Even if it's a treif on a veil, it didn't have a proper shechita, that's okay. So this chassid of the Ger Rebbe, who was a cipher, was bragging to the Rebbe, he does a midas chassidus, he's mahadeh dafke to use glat kosher. He only uses hides from animals that are glat kosher. So the way they wrote it up, I don't know if it's true, the way they wrote it up in the newspaper was that the Rebbe recommended to him, the heder would be to use nevelas and treifas. He says, the kosher geshochten behemoth, that are glat kosher, so that behemoth had its tikkun. The Jewish people are going to eat the meat and they're going to get koyach. They're going to get the ability to daven and to do mitzvahs and burn Torah. So all the kosher behemoths serve a purpose in the Bria to help the Jewish people do Torah mitzvahs. But Nebuch, the behemoth mayor can't use, but the Nevelis, the Trefus, the Halacha says he can use. They never had a tikkun. No one said a bracha on the shech to them. Never had a tikkun. No Jewish person is going to eat it to enable him to further his career in Torah mitzvahs. So the Hiddur should be, but Dafke, you should use the Nevelis, the Trefus. All of nature wants to participate in Avodas Hashem, because the whole tachlis of the Bria was Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael and Bishvil HaTorah Shenikru Bereishis. Rav Soloveitchik once, in one of his published essays, he quotes a passage from the Zohar. Originally, Behoritzoysa Sovavo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that. So he's touching up, and he straightened out the whole world. No more Tovavo. So there's no more Tovavo. So the Zohar says, no, there's still a little bit of Tovavo left. That's Amalek. Amalek represents evil in the world. That's from the original Tov Avoh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah, Timche Zecha Amalek. We have to become shutvim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria Soilam. In the beginning of the Bria, everything was Tov Avoh, and the Rabbanu Shalom did 99% of the job of converting the Tov Avoh into a beautiful world. And he asked us to contribute the final 1%. We should wipe out Amalek to help the Rabbanu Shalom complete the Bria. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Basar Ma'amaris Nivra Ha'olam. So the Gemara says that if you look through Parshas Bereishis, it says nine times Vayamra Lakim. Vayamra does mean that he said, he doesn't have lips, and he didn't have to. When I talk to you, I communicate, so I have to speak out loud. If I'm going to think in my mind, you can't read my mind. But the Rebbeinu Shalom, he's not talking to anybody. So Vayamra just means he had a Ratzin. The Rebbeinu Shalom had a Ratzin, had a desire that Shemayim V'Orit should come into existence, Yiraki, and so on. Vayam, it doesn't mean speech, it doesn't mean Dibra, it means a Ratzin, a desire. So the Gemara says nine times, Vayam Elkim. How is it Asar Ma'amor? So the Gemara says, no, Bereishis Nami Maimah, Bereishis is also. What do you mean Bereishis is a Maimah? It's usually assumed that the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with the Ratzin of Bereishis was that there should be time and space. See, how do we imagine a world without animals and without sun, the moon, and the stars, and without the earth, and without trees, and without vegetables? So close your eyes, you imagine empty space, and time is ticking away. We don't have the ability to imagine in our minds something without time and space. Time is always ticking away, and there's space, but it's empty, there's nothing there. So that, the Bria of time and space, is also part of the Bria. That's Bereishis, Nami Maimahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a desire, he had a wish, that time and space should come to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is L'mailam and Azman, is L'mailam and Amokam. We can't conceive of that. We can't even imagine in our furthest imagination. How can you imagine a world without time? Well, we assume that time and space is also part of the Bria. So that's Bereishis, Nami Maimahu. Ramban HaChumash raises an issue. Says Vayara Lakim Kitov, Ribbono Shel Olam had a desire that this should come into existence. Vayara Lakim Kitov, and he was happy the way it turned out. Vayara Lakim Kitov, then on the sixth, and it says, Hine Tov Miyod. Vayara Lakim Eskola Shosav, Hine Tov Miyod. Very good. What do you mean, Hine Tov? So let's say a person is young and he has a whole dream. He's going to marry a girl who's going to look like this. And they're going to have nine children, and they're going to live in a beautiful home near a river, and they're going to have a lot of grass, and the children are going to play in the grass, and they're going to have swings and everything. And then he marries a girl, it's not exactly the way he thought. And then they have nine children, not exactly the way he dreamt. And the home is not exactly that. And sometimes it is exactly. So he says, Bayar Kitayv, wow, that's wonderful. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever his desire was, that's what's going to happen. If he desires that it should be a nice world, it's going to be a nice world. If he desires it shouldn't be a nice world, it's not going to be. So what do you mean? He has control over everything. Whatever. So what do you mean? Vayar lekim kitoy, and he saw it turn out very nice. If he wanted it not to be nice, it wouldn't be nice. If he wants it, of course, it's going to be nice. What do you mean? He looks in retrospect, and ooh, it turned out good. It's going to be exactly what he wanted. That's what's going to happen. So the Ramban explains it does mean that. He said the nature of the world is that nothing really exists. This was a nest to create Yesh Mayan. So the nature of the world, nothing exists. So when a HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a ratzon, has a desire that something should come into existence, so it should come into existence for a split second, and then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer has this ratzon, it should revert back to its original state of non-existence. Everything should flop back into non-existence. So Yara Lakim Kitov is not a judgment. It's not that the Rabbanu Shalom looked back in retrospect and he's judging, hey, that turned out nice. Hine Tov Miyod, hey, it's very nice. If he wanted to be Tov Miyod, it's going to be Tov Miyod. What it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a continued Ratzon that he wants everything to continue to exist. That's what it means, Kitov. It's not a judgment. He's not judging that it turned out good. He means he wants the things to continue to exist. Everything in the world, really, the only thing, we say Hashem Elokim Emes. A pasuk, you know, Hashem Elokim Emes. What do you mean Hashem Elokim Emes? So the Rambam explains in the beginning of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah that the only thing that really exists as an independent existence is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Bria is a contingent existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Ratzon. What is Macharish B'chu B'chol Yom Tov and Ma'ase Bereishis? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continued wish and desire that everything should continue to exist in the same way, that causes everything to continue to exist. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would stop having that desire, everything would flop back into not into Tohu, but flop back into non-existence. It wouldn't exist at all. This is famous from the Tanya. The Tanya has the second section of the Tanya. It's called Shara Yichud Bohu Emunah. So he quotes this from the Baal Shem Tov. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Le'olam Hashem Dvorcha Nitzav Bashamayim. The words Dvorcha Nitzav, Vayom Elokim, the Asara Mamar Shebehem Nivra Ha'olam, the words are still there. Dvorcha Nitzav Hashem. The wish, the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehi Or, Yehi Rakia, Yehi Mayim, Tetzar, Tzedeshe, Eisam, Azriyaz, everything. The Asara Mamar are still there, preserving everything in the world. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have that continued desire, everything would flop back into non-existence. And the Baal HaTanya gives a mashal that Yam Suf was flowing in one direction. So if a person would put his hand, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his hand there, and he stops it from flowing, so it's going to stop and it's going to be dry. But then he's going to take his hand away, so it's going to continue to flow weiter. So Bozman, you have your hand there, so the Yam Suf is going to pile up. The water is flowing. Yam Suf is going to pile up higher, and it's going to be dry over here. The minute you take away your hand, the minute you no longer have your hand there, so everything is going to revert back to its original state of flowing. So here also, everything in the world, the natural state of everything is that nothing exists. The only thing that has a true existence is Hashem Elokim Emes. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has a true existence, independent existence. And the rest of the Bria is all a contingent existence because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to exist. So this is what the thrust of the beginning of the second section, Chelek Beis, I think they claim the second section of the Shar Yichud, the second section of the Tanya, is really the introduction to the Tanya. It's printed, the first section is printed first, but the second section is really this, it's really this Ramban HaChumash on Kito, and it's really the introduction to the Tanya. After the whole Bria is all over, what do you mean? Everything is Tov. What happened all of a sudden? Tov Miyod. So there's a famous Medrash that says, Tov Miyod Zehamovis. What does that mean? Tov Miyod Zehamovis. So the traditional interpretation is, the Gemara says, Kol Ma Dabar Rachmana LeTavav. Everything the Rabban Shalom does is wonderful. Sometimes tragedies occur. Young people are stabbed to death. So tzaddikim are killed. We don't understand it. Tzaddik v'ra'alav, Rosh HaVatov, we don't understand that. But our emuna is that everything is l'tayva. Kol ma David rachmona l'tayva. The Mishnah says, kishem shemavarchem ala tayva, kach mevarchem ala ruah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, kishem? Kishem, just like you say asher yatzah when you go to the bathroom, or something you say bar pi adam when you eat potato chips. Well, it's just like so too. Kishem shemur ala toive, you say atoive ameitev, ala ro, you say baruch dayinu emes. Why is it kishem, just like this, so too that? The Gemara asks that in the end of brachas. The Gemara says, no, kishem, the text of the brachas should be corresponding to your perception. My perception is that this is a tragedy. You don't say atoive ameitev, you don't say shachyonu, you say dayinu emes. But you're supposed to be mekabalit besimcha. You're supposed to say the bracha dayinu emes besimcha. Tell the story when the Slabodka Yeshiva, they were going to draft them into the Polish army, the Russian army, whatever it was at that time. So they were afraid they were going to draft them into the army. That would ruin all the whole Yeshiva. So half of the yeshiva moved, more than half of the yeshiva moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they were learning in Hebron. They were learning in Hebron, and then they had their riots, and they killed almost everyone. They killed all those who were there. But most of the boys were away. It was on Friday. The riots were on Friday, and most of the boys had gone to an Oifruf or something out of town. But they killed almost everybody who was there. A couple of guys from YU were there in Hebron. There was before I was born. There were students from YU who were killed there in their riots in Hebron. They have upstairs in the faculty lounge on the fifth floor, they have a plaque in memory of those boys who had graduated Yeshiva College who were killed in their riots in Hebron. I remember where I spent two summers in Kiryat Arba. So one of my neighbors at that time was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's son-in-law, Rabbi Saul Shurin. He passed away already. He also learned here in Yeshiva College, in learned by Rav Soloveitchik. So once on Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah says in Tainus, that on the Tainus Siba, the meaning is that you go to the Beis HaKvaros, preferably to go to Kivrei Tzadikim, that they should be the Mispala for us. A Tainus is an Eis Tzara. So we go to Tzadikim, should be Mispala for us, and if you know Kivrei Tzadikim available, then you go to Goyish Cemetery, second best aggression attempt, that we should all realize that Sof Kol Adam Lomos, and we should shape up, we should stop doing averus. So I remember once on Tisha B'Av, he took me, I think it was Tisha B'Av, Shivasa B'Tamuz, it was in the summertime. So he took me to the cemetery in Hebron, and he's telling me he knew some of those people. He knew some of them from YU, and he knew what it is because he had learned in Eretz Yisrael before he came to America. So he knew some of them. So when the Slabodka Yeshiva moved to Hebron, So the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva's son died at a very young age. I think it was 21 or something like that. And he was a big Talmid Chacham, was very promising, was going to look like he was going to develop to become a big Talmid Chacham. So they were big Bali Musar. So they scheduled the funeral, and the father of the boy came an hour late to his son's funeral. So they were afraid to ask him, how'd he come an hour late? He keep everybody waiting. What kind of Musa? The Bali Musa were makbid on time, not to keep people waiting. So they were embarrassed. They asked him, but in the middle of Shiva, somebody raised the issue. So he explained to them, brokenheartedly, he explained the din and the Gemara. He's supposed to say the bracha dayin ha'emes b'simcha with the emunah called Madavid Rachman al Tabal. He says it took him an hour till he kept on drilling it into himself, that this young son that he lost at the age of 21, that it's l'toiva. It appeared to him to be a tragedy. That's why he said the nusach dayin ha'emes. The bracha is recited according to what the perception is. Perception is that it's a tragedy. It took him an hour to chazer in his mind that it's really l'toiva. He doesn't know how in the world is going to be l'toiva. It's really l'toiva. The Gemara has an agadah in Chulin, a medrash on the psukim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So it says, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shnei HaMoris HaGdolim. He created two larger luminaries. Then it says, HaMor HaGadol HaMishalos HaYam, HaMor HaKotel HaMishalos HaLaila. First the Levon is described as Shnei HaMoris HaGdolim. Then it says, HaMor HaKotel HaMishalos HaLaila. So the Pashtus is that there's no contradiction. The sun is bigger than the moon. Gives much more illumination than the moon, and the moon gives much more illumination than the stars. So it's not a kasha. But the Gemara considers this a contradiction. The Gemara says, originally, we don't fully understand what it means. Originally, the Gemara said, Ribbono Shel Olam created both gigantic, the moon was as big as the sun. So then the moon went and complained. What do you mean the moon went and complained? There's no Bechir Chavshus on the moon, it's not a human being. The moon went and complained, Ein Shnei Melachim Mishtamshin B'Keser Echad, how can it be that I'm going to, that two of us have the same power. So the moon meant that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Mamayit the sun. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, wise guy, you're complaining, so you make yourself smaller. So now the moon doesn't tell the whole story. The moon goes around and cries, look what God did to me. He punished me. What did I do? I didn't do anything. I'm innocent. It's a tzarek v'ralo. That's the concept of miyo talvona. When we say kiddush levon, we pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he should be male pegimus alvana. V'liya b'shu miyot. It shouldn't be any miyot alvana. Yir alvana k'ra hachama k'ra sheshes mei breishes. The levana should be as big as it was in sheshes mei breishes. It was the same size as the sun. That's what Rav Soloveitchik once said. We have so many problems. They're killing Jews in Eretz Yisrael every day. The economic problem, there's so many poor Jews. The yeshivas don't have money to support themselves. We have conservative rabbis. We have Orthodox rabbis who are acting like conservative rabbis. We have so many things going on in the world. And we're only worried about the Mi'ut Halvana. What in the world is this? We're crying about the Halvana Karacham Koshesh and Nebresha. So he said in Kabbalah literature, the concept of Mi'ut Halvana means this problem at Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaVetov. Because the Gemara says in that Agarata that the moon was originally bigger and then it's smaller. So the Rebbe Shlom says every Rosh Chodesh when the moon starts its cycle again, they should bring Karbonos HaMusafim. And it says you bring 11 Musafim. Every day you bring a Tom Shoshach and Tom Shabbat Abayim. And in between you bring all the other Karbonos. So on Rosh Chodesh you bring 11 Musafim. 10 of them are Oilo and one is a Soila Chatos. So the Pasuk says Chatos Lashem. So it sounds as if God needs a Kapar. God needs a Chatos. So that's what the Gemara says. Avu alai kapash miyata tias hayirech. Baruch Hashem is clapping al chet, and he says, "Bring a carbon chatas for me. I sinned. I made the levana smaller." What kind of a lashon is that? What kind of ridiculous? So it says on the margin in the Gemara in Chulin, and this Agarit in the middle of Eilat Treifus, and I'm in base there. So it says, "Yesh bazeh sod. Yesh bagarazu sod. What's the sod?" So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. What it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. Throughout all the generations, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked, and all the different Nevi'im were asking, Madua Derech Rishayim Tzalecha, Madua Derech Rishayim, why the Rishayim Matzliach? How can you have Tzadik V'Ra'alo? We believe there's only one God. And God is good, and God knows everything that's happening, has power over everything. The Umas Olam, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they look in the world, they see there are terrible things happening and good things. So they say there are two gods. There's a God of good and a God of evil. Well, you say you believe in one God. He doesn't know what's going on. He created the world, then he walked away. We don't believe in that. We believe there's only one God. We believe he's a good God. He's not a bad God. We believe he knows everything that's happening and he cares about everything that's happening. And he has the ability to control everything. So if he has the ability, he knows that we have a kasha. How can he allow Tzadik V'Ra'alo Rosh HaVetovlo? It's the same God who created the world is the one who gave the moral, the ethical, and the religious principles. So there's a contradiction over here. How can you allow Tzadik V'Ra'alo Rosh HaVetovlo? So that's what the Kabbalah refers to as the Mi'ut Halvana. Because the Levana, you get the impression as if the Levana didn't do anything wrong. Truth of the matter, the Levana did something wrong. The Levana wanted to trip up the Chama, whatever the interpretation of that Agarata is. It's the Levana's own fault that it was nismata because the Levana went to complain, intending that the Chama should be diminished. So the Rebbe Shlom tells mankind, "Havu alai kapora." I can't explain to you why were so many tzaddikim killed in Eretz Yisrael. What did they do? Why were 6 million Jews killed in the Shoah? What did they do? What did they deserve? Rebbe Shlom says, "I can't explain it to you." Havu alai kapora. As if he's clapping al chet. What's taka the answer? We believe kol madavid rachmana litavavidi. After all of history will be unfolded, then we'll be able to look back in retrospect, and we'll understand if you place everything into proper perspective, so then you'll understand everything was litavavidi. When the tragedy is happening, when the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashgiach, who was from Slobodka, when his son died, the perception was that it was lira, but it was supposed to have a munah that if you look at the entire picture, then we'll understand how everything was l'tayv. So that's what the famous interpretation in Medrash, Vayar l'kim is kol asher osa. When you look at everything, when you look at everything into context, v'inei tov miyad zu hamavis. Even death, which is a tragedy, how is that tov? It's tov miyot. If you see vayarokim is kol asher osa, if you look at everything in perspective, so then everything is letoiva. We don't have a perspective. We don't see all the 6,000 years of history in front of us. We say we lived through a certain part of history, so we see it's a tragedy. But really, everything is letoiva. We're supposed to have emunah that everything is letoiva.
But there wasn't supposed to be any death originally.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Wasn't supposed to be any death before the age of 1,000. Adonijah was supposed to live for 1,000 years.
It's 1,000.
Yeah, but after 1,000, apparently not supposed to live. So it was supposed to be some death.
Or even in Gan Eden?
I think so. The Midrash Mab is supposed to live 1,000 years, and it was chopped off because he ate from the Eitz Hadas, because he sinned.
There would be no death. Nobody would do anything because it's always tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Off.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Rashi points out from the Medrash. Rashi is fantastic in Chumash. Rashi points out, "Vayir vayver ki yom sheni, vayir vayver ki yom shlishi." So in the first day, it should have said "Vayir vayver ki yom rishon." It doesn't say that. It says "Vayir vayver ki yom echod." It's not in context with the other. It should have said "Yom rishon," like yom sheni, yom shlishi. It doesn't say "Vayir vayver ki shnei yomim," "Vayir vayver ki shloshi yom." How come "Vayir vayver ki yom echod"? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't create any other powers yet. He hadn't created any angels till after the first day. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Echad, he was all alone. There were no other koiches in the world. But our minig is that when you write a ksuba, you write a get. So if it's on Sunday, so you write Be'echad B'Shabbos. You don't write Berishon B'Shabbos. And if it's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then you write B'Sheni B'Shabbos, B'Shlishi B'Shabbos. So you, based on the others, you should have written on Sunday you should have written Berishon B'Shabbos, but you don't do that because in the Chumash it's called Yom Echad, it's not called Yom Rishon. So the meaning is that we follow the Loshon that it says in the Chumash.
Why don't we do that for
We want to remember Shabbos, Zochas Yom Shabbos L'Kapcha, right? That's what we say. The first line in the Shir Shal Yom is the most important. Hayom Yom Chamishi B'Shabbos. So you're Yotzei ready, even if you don't have a chance. I usually don't have a chance to say the Shir Shal Yom because they daven so fast there. Till I finish daven, that people are waiting to learn with me. So I just say the first line. Hayom Chamishi B'Shabbos and say Hanina L'Kim Azeno. That's all. I'm Yotzei with that. Because the Ramban says the main thing is the first line. So I said it. I said the first line. Yeah. What happened here with the Eitz Hadas, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, man is only liable to be punished if he has Sechel. The Avacher Shot to Bekotan Zalab Bardas, he's a Lab Baronshin. So before Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he didn't have any Sechel, he didn't have any Das. So how can you punish him for eating from the Eitz Hadas? If he's a Lab Bardas, he doesn't deserve to be punished. So he can't. The Rambam starts off the Mor Nevuchim, the first page of Mor Nevuchim. He can't say that the Eitz Hadas is what gave us Sechel. Said then Allah Badash shouldn't be punished. So what was it? Ladas Tovarab, what was it exactly? So the Rambam has a pshat and the Rambam Chumash has something similar. And the Chassidish Svarim, they say the same thing. Everybody says the same thing basically. But in the Chassidish Svarim, they have a snazzy suggestion. They say that after eating from the Eitz Hadas, people always rationalize. People do averus. The Pasuk in Mishlei describes the prostitute defends her. Today on the news, when I woke up in the morning, so they had on the news that some guy has someone, they called in a customer in a house of prostitution, one of the customers died. So this was on the news this morning. So the guy, the owner of the house of prostitution, is saying, we have a nice bekavod digger business here. Mamish, the words from Mishlei. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't force them to come to me, she says. They come out of their own free will and they pay me for their services rendered. I give them a good time. So like the garbage collector is entitled, the mail delivery, and the people who do anything. So he has Zaina has a business of prostitution. She makes people happy. She tells them in advance how much it is. She doesn't twist their arm. They're very nice. Everybody rationalizes everything they do. Everybody rationalizes. You can have three people tell over the same story. Each one will tell the story with a different slant. The way they'll tell the story, he was the hero of the story. Rav Soloveitchik tell the whole story about the Or Sameach and Rav Chaim once at a rabbinical convention. So the way Rav Soloveitchik said it, Rav Chaim was the hero of the story. The way it's printed in the biography of the Or Sameach was the hero. The same story, but different people told it differently. Each one is always the hero of the story because each person rationalizes. Each person perceives the world according to their Elfi HaNiz Daitam and they understand differently. So that's what, before Adam Rishon ate from the Gemara says, Kivin sha'ava adam avera b'shana bo, if a person does an avera and repeats it, hutraloi. Now he's allowed to do the avera. The guy eats chazer once and twice, now he's like, hutraloi salka daitach, that's ridiculous. Ela nasis lo keheta. Nasis lo keheta. He rationalizes, he says, not so bad, what's so bad? He eats nevela, he's machal Shabbos, he eats treifas, he lives with a non-Jewish girl. After you do it a few times, you get so used to it, so you rationalize it. That's what it means. That's what all three, the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim and the Ramban and the Chassidish Yisroel, they say, before man sins, it does mean the Eitz Hadas. Every human being, before you sin, so your mind is straight and you know what's right and you know what's wrong. After you start to sin, you see, it's not so bad. So you start to rationalize and you have what the Chassidish Yisroel write is, Tov Ara Me'urovim Zebazem. Right and wrong blend in together. So it's hard to discern. Like the Gemara says, Nasis Lekehete, Kimisho, Rabuna says, Nasis Lekehete. That's what, in Yiddish folklore, they say like that. They see a guy's eating chaza, so he says, how you allowed to eat chaza? Rabuna's hete. What's on? Kimisho, Avram Abeda, Hucholoi. Yeah, but the Gemara backs up, Hucholoi, Salgadai, Nasis Lekehete. Not Hucholoi. He has Rabuna's hete, the first, the Havamina. Hucholoi, it's Mutum, yeah. So that's what the Mefarshim explained over here. The Eitz Hadas didn't have any special qualities or properties to it. What was the Eitz Hadas? So there are four different opinions in the Midrashim. One opinion is that it was grapes. Why did it come off to say grapes? There's no remez at all, because we know that from grapes you make wine and people get drunk, and all terrible things happen when people get drunk. All terrible things happen. And that's what Adam Rishon became drunk. Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas on Erev Shabbos. Adam Rishon was created the sixth day that was Erev Shabbos. So we say Kiddush on grapes, wine, on Friday night as a tikkun. That's how the Kabbalah Svarim, right? As a tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas. We show we're going to, the grapes he can make into wine, and all klola is bala ilam because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. So we show we're going to use the wine that was originally from the Eitz Hadas, we're going to use the Torah, we're going to make Kiddush, and we try to stick to it, that we keep the wine under control.
What's the difference between that and Ain't HaDeber, not
HaDeber? Yeah, I don't know. A very good question. I don't know. So that's one opinion, that it's the grapes. That's why they quote from the Vilna Gaon that his minig was that he wouldn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah, because according to that opinion in the Medrash, the Eitz Hadas sin was committed on Rosh Hashanah, the same day Adam Rishon was created. An hour after he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he sinned, he couldn't hold out. He sinned on the same day. So we don't want to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah not to fall in. That's one opinion. I don't know. Good question.
Why wasn't the Asid Kiddush Docha from the Eitz Hadas?
What do you mean the Asid Kiddush?
If Adam Rishon, let's say he like new Torah, so like that Asid was in Docha Lulut Asid.
No, he sinned by eating from the Eitz Hadas. He wasn't saying Kiddush. He wasn't supposed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So one opinion is that the Eitz Hadas was Te'enim. Why? Because Vayishpiru Elohim Alei Te'eno. So the Gemara, the Medrash has an expression. The Gemara has it. The same, the other trees didn't want to give anything off. He sinned, let him suffer. But the Te'ena tree was the one that he sinned with. So that tree, they made Alei Te'eno to cover their body because they sinned from that tree. So that was the only tree that would let them use. The other opinion is in the Gemara that it was chita, that now wheat grows on the ground, doesn't grow on trees. Gemara has one ton has a tradition. He claims that in the beginning, chita grew on a tree. They used to bury prihoites instead of bury prihadama on kernels of grain. And why? Why should he say chita? Because it's called Eitz Hadas Tovara. And little babies only develop their mind when they start eating cereal. The tinuk only recognizes Abba Ima, he only recognizes father and the mother. He knows, he learns how to talk, and his mind develops when he eats chita, when he eats wheat. Then there's a fourth opinion that it was an esrog. Why should it be an esrog? Because the pasuk says that the tree, the Eitz Hadas, was nechmad lemare, and the Targum Onkelos writes, the mirageg lemechazi. The verb rogog in Aramaic means nechmad. Beautiful. That's why it's called Esrog, the Ramana Chumash. Why it's called Esrog? Because the word Es, it's, in Chumash it's called Pri Eitz Hadar, a cute looking, a pretty looking fruit. So it's appealing. It's an appealing fruit. So that's why we call it Esrei, because the verb rogog in Aramaic means nechmad, nechmad lemar. So that's why some say that the netilos ha'esrog, when the dalet minim, netilos ha'esrog is a kapara on the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Yeah, the different versions, what exactly, what was the tree, what was the Eitz Hadas, whether it was esrog, or it was te'ena, or it was gefen, or it was chita, whatever it was, it doesn't seem that that was the one and only tree that had esrog, chita, gefen, or te'ena. It sounds like there were a lot of trees like that. So how did he know which one is the Eitz Hadas and not allowed to eat? So that was Besoch HaGon, that was Be'emtza, in the middle of the Gan. The middle of the Gan. Baruch Shalom singled out one Geffen. All the other Geffen you can eat. This Geffen you shouldn't eat. It didn't have any unique properties. It was the same grapes as the other, the same Chitim as the other trees, same Esroigim and the same Tainim as the other trees. There were many trees the same. Baruch Shalom said arbitrarily, don't eat this one. So after he ate from that one, then it became Tovar Ami Rav Mezeb Zeb, because of what Rav Huna said. Kivin Sha'avar Adam Aver Ushana Bo, Nasas Lokaheta. After a person does an Avera, the Chumash records the story. Why did Chumash record the story of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas? So Bishleim, of the Avodah Zarah, for the Christians, by them, Chet of the Eitz Hadas, the original sin, that's a Ika by them in Amun. All the men, all people are born with sin. The neshamas are not pure, all because of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. But by us, the chet of the Eitz Hadas doesn't play such a big role. So why is it belong in the Chumash? So the Malbim explains in his commentary on Chumash, chet of the Eitz Hadas is recorded to teach us that's what happens to us. Before you do an avera, your mind is straight. And after you start doing the avera, kim sha'avar avera, vishon abo, nasa slo keheta, it's going to be tov harav, mirovim zebezeh. So the Chumash writes it to teach us that lesson. There's a fascinating Ramban in Melchames in the first Perek in Chulin that's quoted La'aloch and Yeridayim. There's a din acharam lahatas. If you don't know whether the suit has shatnas or not, so if roiva the suits, you have to ask the thing. You have to ask the shatnas people. If roiva these suits don't have shatnas, so mikra, then you have a right to follow roiv. You'd say you don't know about a certain vegetable whether it has any bugs or not. So if the experts tell you the roiv are these vegetables, don't have any bugs. So mi'ikar adin, you have a right to follow the roiv. You're not mechuyev to check. And so on. But in the Rabbanon, there's a chumrah that if there's a miut hamotzui, so then you are mechuyev to be bodek. To make sure that it belongs to the roiv, doesn't belong to the miut. That's the question, what percentage likelihood is considered a miut hamotzui? So that the Ramban doesn't explain. So that the Mishkan is Yankif, thinks the Darkei Tshuva, and you're right there, quotes the Mishkan and Sanka, thinks the Miut HaMotzi means 10% or above. And Rabbi Yashiv disagreed because the Ramban on the Gemara quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says, when you shech the behemah, our practice, and when we shech behemahs, we only check the lungs to see that there are no sirchas. There are 70 different kinds of trefas. You can stand all day long and check all the trefas. We don't check all the trefas. Broken leg and all different organs of the body. We only check for sirchas on the lung. Why? So Ramban says, it's a medrash like that. Ramban says because the sirchas on the lungs are a miut hamotzi, and all the other 69 trefas are miut shein hamotzi. So miut shein hamotzi have a right to go basar roiv, unless you know the animal has a shaila. Unless it fell down a flight of stairs, unless someone stabbed it, so you have to check to make sure that there are no holes in the kidneys or something. You have to check for the other things also. But if it's a normal behemah, you have the right to follow the roiv, except for the sirchas and the reya, because sirchas and the reya are a miut hamotzi. In America, Rav Soloveitchik said that he used to give hashgach on the slaughterhouse in Boston, and he says he used to be mekel, he didn't insist on glatt kosher, and he says that not glatt kosher, he says they used to have 14% of all of the animals, that all the cows that they shechted, had sirchas on the lungs. And then he was complaining that at that time the glatt kosher only had 9%. How's that possible? If you're machmeh for glatt kosher, you should have a higher percentage of trefas. How come he was not machmeh? He said, I used all the kulas on the book plus more. And he had 14% trefas. And the glatt kosher claimed he only had 9%. He used to say, it's not glatt kosher, it's glatt tref. Can't rely. That's at that time. Can't rely. Kashrus at that time was quite problematic. So anyway, so Rav Soloveitchik said, like the Mishkan of Yankov, 10% and above. And here in America, the likelihood of sircha on the lungs, on the behemoth, is well over 10%, it's 14%. Rabbi Yashiv pointed out that in Eretz Yisrael for many years they've been keeping records in slaughterhouses all over the world. They keep records. How often does the Shechet make an Nevela? If he makes too many Nevelas, they fire him. He's not doing a good job. And how often is it a Trefa? And if it's too often, it's a Trefa. They won't buy behemoths from Arizona. They'll buy from Wyoming. They'll buy from Colorado. They'll buy from a different place. There's something unhealthy over there in that part of the world that's causing too many Trefas. So they don't have enough meat that they can sell at kosher. So they keep records all over the world. They keep records in recent years of what percentage of all the behemoths that have psichas on their lungs. So in Eretz Yisrael, the percentage is 7%. In America, it was 14%. In Eretz Yisrael, it was 7%. So Rabbi Yashiv thought the Medrash was probably written in Eretz Yisrael. There were Midrashim that were written in Bavel, but he said the Medrash probably talking in Eretz Yisrael. Medrash at the Ramban quotes that you have to be bodik for sirchas on the Reya, and the Ramban interprets the Medrash. The Medrash doesn't explain why only sirchas. Why don't you check for everything? But the Ramban explains because sirchas on the Reya is miyotam motzeh. So you see that 7% is considered miyotam motzeh. Rav Doivert, who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, once told us that there was a period of time that he used to travel to Argentina to supervise shchita, that they used to import the meat from Argentina to Eretz Yisrael. There was a period of time, it could be distillers, and they imported meat from America. They used to sheft in America. The Rabbanut would send people around to check which shchitas are reliable, so they would allow them to import that meat to Eretz Yisrael. So there was a period of time, could be distilled, I haven't followed, that they would do shchita in Argentina and sell the meat in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Neuvert used to go. So he said, in Argentina, the percentage of sirchas on the Reya is only 5%. But he said he's not prepared to be machmer more than Rabbi Yashiv. The Mishkan is Yankiv said if it's 10%, you have to have a chayvus bedikim with the rabbanon. That's miyotam motzeh. Rabbi Yashiv was always machmer on everything, so he came up even 7% is also miyotam motzeh v'harai, because in Eretz Yisrael, 7% of the behemoths at the shecht, only 7% have sirchas on the lung, and the Ramban says that it's miyotam motzeh. So you see, 7% is not. So Rav Neuvert said he doesn't think we have to be machmer just because in Argentina it's 5%. It should be machmer that 5% is called miyotam motzeh. He said, let's assume that it's 7%. So the Ramban quotes this Medrash. The Medrash says, Mi galo ofa me'enecho Odom HaRishon. Odom HaRishon is dead and buried. So he said, the Medrash says, somebody should dig out Odom HaRishon, wipe off the sand on his eyes, and tell him, open up your eyes. You didn't have the patience, Odom HaRishon. You were instructed, the day you were created, you were instructed the same day not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and you couldn't control yourself. If you would have waited till Leil Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That doesn't say in Chumash. That's what the Medrash understands. It was a Hirosha, he was only forbidden to eat the Eitz Hadas that day, and he couldn't hold out. It wasn't even 24 hours. Medrash says the second or third hour of the after he was instructed, he already violated the din. So the Medrash says, Mi galo ofa me'enecho Odom HaRishon. They should dig you out from your grave and wipe the dust off your eyes. Look at the Jewish people. They shech the behemoth. They don't eat the flesh right away. First they check the lungs to see that there are no sirchas. Then a couple is married. The wife becomes a nida. They wait 7 days, more than 7 days, till the wife goes to the mikveh. Or they plant a tree. They wait 3 years. They don't eat oil the first 3 years. They wait. So the Medrash says, Odom HaRishon didn't have any patience. If you would have waited till the end of the day, till Leil Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's a fascinating Medrash. That the Eitz Hadas was only also Hirosha for that day. That Medrash is quoted by the Ramban. And the Malcham is the beginning of Chulin.
I think Rabbi a few years ago also quoted the Zohar about biting off the pitzon based on that.
Rabbi Kiveger refers it. There was a practice that many of the pregnant women had, that after Sukkot was over, on Sukkot, the Esrog is hooked to the mitzvah. And after Sukkot is over, the hook to the mitzvah goes off. So the women were punished, the Etzev tel dibonim, because of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. So one of the four opinions is that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog tree. So the Mu'uberes, the pregnant woman, would wait till after Sukkot is over. She would say, look, Chaba was punished because she didn't have patience to wait till Leil Shabbos. I did have patience. I waited till the Sukkot is over, and now I'm eating the Esrog. So please don't punish me because of the sin of Chaba. If I would have been there in Gan Eden, I wouldn't have eaten. I wouldn't have rushed. But Haraya, I waited till the Sukkot is over. So that's in Yiddish folklore. That's popular notion that a pregnant woman bites off the pitta from the Esrog and she eats a little bit from the Esrog, and Rabbi Kevega tells you where to look to find this prayer, the tefillah that the Mu'beri should say when she bites off the pitta. But she shouldn't be punished, because if she would have been there, she would have waited.
Well,
Yiddish folklore is very, very rich. Yeah.
It fits in with the Sephorno, who says there was no. This whole Nachash, it's only a figure of speech.
A mashal.
So a person's emotions, a kod ha-dimyon, he calls it, that with her, that she wanted to make a whole thing, build up in her mind how this would be such a good thing to eat this fruit. Because
yeah, they were all described exactly the same. All the trees in Gan Eden were Nechmad L'Marav Toiv L'Haske. Everything was the same. Everything was the same. But because this one was forbidden, so the grass is always green on the other side. But you don't have the ability to get. You always think that it's better over there. People teaching in one university always think that the conditions are better in the other university. So they get a sabbatical, then they take a year off, they go to the other place, and they run back to the original place. It's better where they came from. They always think it's better on the other side. That's the famous comment the lady has on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sukkah, Lasilava Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht the Yetzahara, and the Tzaddikim and the Rishayim are both going to be watching while this happens, and the Tzaddikim are going to wonder, how did we have the Tzaddikim Nidim Lahem Kahar? It's so, the Yetzahara is so powerful, like a big mountain. How do we have the ability to withstand this big Yetzahara? And the Rishayim Nidim Lahem Kuchut Asaira. And the Rishayim, they'll visualize the Yetzar as if it's just a hair, the thickness of a hair. And they'll say, why didn't we keep the mitzvahs? What was so difficult? Why did we violate the Averis? So that's what the Beis HaLevi asked to all of the Rosh Hashanah. How come the Tzaddikim Nidim Lahem Kohar, Rishayim Nidim Lahem Kuchut Asaira? So the Beis HaLevi has the famous explanation. And the Sefer HaChumash says, Tzaddikim who never violated the Averis. So the grass is always green on the other side. So they think, wow, if we would do the Averis, we would get such pleasure. They always think it's greater on the other side. Truth of the matter is, the Gemara says in Perek Kol Abasa Mechulin, that Kol Madasa Rachmana, Shoralan Kavasa. You're not allowed to eat Basa B'cholov, so you're allowed to eat Kchal. The Kchal is the udder of the cow. It's fleshed together with milk. So you can cook it and you have Basa B'cholov together. The Rabbanon, you have to squeeze out some of the milk, but it's going to taste like basa b'chol. You're not allowed to eat treif of fish, so there's a kosher fish that has the same flavor as the treif fish. You're not allowed to have dam, it's a dam that's muta. You're not allowed to eat boal anido, it's a dam tohar is muta. Everything that Torah prohibited, you can get the exact same pleasure from keeping the Torah as you get from violating the mitzvot of Torah. We shouldn't have this imagination, but the tzaddikim were never violated the averis. By them, the grass is always green on the other side. It says, nidma lehem kahar. They think that the hanoa that you'll get from violating Averis is unbelievable. And the Rishayim violated Averis, and there's nothing. They don't lead a better life. They don't have more pleasure in Olam Hazeh. They're not richer, and they don't have more hanoa in Olam Hazeh than if they would have kept all the mitzvahs out there. Everything is the same. So by them, it's just kuchut asar, it's a garnish mit garnish. Yeah, it's all we imagine in our minds, that if we'll do Averis, if we'll be Mechal Shabbos, we'll get richer. You can become rich without being Mechal Shabbos. Can have a happy marriage by marrying a nice religious girl. Shouldn't think you'd have to dafke marry a prutza. You can have a very happy marriage by marrying a nice sneers de gemegel from Beis Yankov. Everything is going to be the same. The Mishnah in the end of Perek Haboi Vinta has all the dinam apira virivyo. That's the first mitzvah. Isava shalik makim by tzav starts a new section of human history, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs other Marishim by Tzava Shalakim Alo Adam. So the Gemara understands, the Gemara in Sanhedrin later, Daf Nun Zayin Nun Ches, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave other Marishim the mitzvahs, we call them Sheva mitzvahs ben Enerach. Those other Marishim wasn't yet given, that's according to the Rambam, the Gemara, other Marishim wasn't given the prohibition of Eben Menachai because he wasn't allowed to eat flesh. He had to be a vegetarian. He told them, Kol Eitz Agan Ochol Techa. You can eat fruits and vegetables. Only after the Mabul in Parshas Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, he's allowed to eat kirakes of Nesati Lachem Eskol. He gave him the right to eat fleshiks, the same as Adam Rishim is given the right to eat fruits and vegetables. So Eva Malachai was only given later to Noach. Originally, there were only six mitzvahs given to Adam Rishim. So that's why we call it Sheva mitzvahs ben Enoch, because if you talk about the mitzvahs of Adam Rishim, there were only six. But by Tzava Shamalkim Alo Adam, that was the beginning of Tzivo Yashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Adam Rishim that he has to keep mitzvahs. That's a significant point. So Kodem Matan Torah, the Gemara says everybody was mechuyev in Pruravu, and then Maimon HaSinai, after Maimon HaSinai, Pruravu changed, and it's only for the Jewish people, no longer applies to the Umas Olam. Kodem Matan Torah, the Goyim were mechuyev to have Pruravu, so they'd be yotze to having Goyish children. Achem Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. Many Achreinim assume in the first Simon in Ebenezer, the Simon about Piruvi, many assume that you're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah Piruvia if you marry a Jewish woman and you have Jewish children. If you marry a non-Jewish woman, you have to give birth to non-Jewish children. So the Pashta says that you're not yet to the mitzvah. Let's say a ger. The Gemara has there in the end of Perek Avoy Vimtoid, in the end of Chorus also, the Gemara has Machleks Abiech and Amish Lokish. A ger, a non-Jew is married to a non-Jewish woman, they have non-Jewish children. And then the ger converts. So Rabbi Yechon, so Rish Lakish says he can't be yetzer the mitzvah of Pirur Ruhi with the children that he had before he converted, because Gershon is got Kotten Shinala Dami. So he's not related to those children anymore. You're only yetzer Pirur Ruhi if you're Misyachis, if there's a Yachas between the father and the children. Once Gershon is got Kotten Shinala Dami, he's not yetzer the mitzvah. We don't pass like Rish Lakish. We pass like Rabbi Yechon that the ger is yetzer the mitzvah of Pirur Ruhi with the Goyisha children that he had before. So the Rambam says, when is guy who banavima, if the children convert. So the Magid Mishnah learned Pshat and the Rambam, that the Rambam understood Rabbi Yechanan, the Rambam Yotze Piru Rivya. If the children convert, if the children remain goyim, then he's not Yotze Piru Rivya. Why don't you say Kotten Shinol Adami? So the Gemara gives a whole explanation, you got to figure out the Gemara, and the end of Chorus gives an explanation. Why don't you say like Rish Lakish? Others interpret that the Rambam meant to say, even if the children convert, if the children don't convert, there's more reason to say that you are Yotze Piru Rivya with the Goyisha children. But others learn Pshag Namang and Avram, like the Magid Mishnah on the side of the Rambam there in Hilchos Ishus. No, Rabbi Yechon only meant to say you are Yotze Piru Rivya if the children also convert. You're not Yotze Piru Rivya with non-Jewish children. The whole nature of the mitzvah changed after Matan Torah. But one part of the mitzvah stayed the same. There's a Machlekes HaTanaim. Vayomer lahem Elokim pru revu. Vayomer lahem. So one Tana says al shneim hu aimer Adam and Chava. They were both in tzitzava that they have to have children, and we don't pass like that. We pass in that only Adam, only the males are mechuyev in pru revu. The women are not mechuyev. Why? Because the pasuk says pru revu melas oretz v'chib shuha. So the Gemara says ish dar kalichpesh, ish ein dar kalichpesh. Human nature is supposed to be, now it's against human nature. Women are running for president of the United States. Women are running to become president. Mr. Joel said they should have a search committee and they should look for a new president. So they already came up with a few suggestions for women presidents for Yeshiva University. Some of the people think my wife should become the president. She would run the business better than many men, possibly. Others have other suggestions, which women should run Yeshiva University, yeah. But normally, b'noeg shavolim, ish daka lichpish, ish ein daka lichpish. You don't draft women into the army. It's scandalous that the Medina Sassoli used to draft women into the army. Now they really don't need it. Now they have more than enough male soldiers. There's really no need for women in the army. And it's really scandalous because all the research has indicated when you have women in the army, so that they're weaker than, if they're doing combat, so they're weaker than the men. And it just pulls down the percentage of success of the army. The American government realized that. So the American government said it doesn't make sense to have women in the army. And those in Eretz Yisrael who are pushing that they should have women in combat positions in the army are not really taking in mind the best interest of the Jewish army in Eretz Yisrael. Best is not to have women. And they don't need any more women. So the Gemara says on the first staff in Kiddushin, the Gemara says you don't draft women into the army. You're not supposed to draft women into the army. And that's what the Tana says, ish darka lichpish, ish ein darka lich. Ish is supposed to be called Vuda bas melech penimo. The Gemara in Yavama says that pasuk on goyim. We say we're not allowed to marry amayne mayavi ha'dvar shalakid me'eschem alechem uvamayim. So the Gemara says, ish darka lekadim, ish ein darka lekadim. You can't expect from the women that they should have come forward. Called Vuda bas melech penimo goes on the non-Jews as well. So Amonis and Moyavis is Muteris Lava Bikohol, because Ish Darka Lekadim, Al Dashalakid Meschem, Ish Ain Darka Lekadim. Women are supposed to have a laid back position. That's the more correct way. Women should have a laid back position. They quote, I think, from one of the letters of Rav Kook. They have several volumes, collections of Igros Ariya, letters from Rav Kook. Rav Kook died a long time ago, way before Hakamas HaMedina. So he wrote in one of the letters, if you want to be Zeichet to get the Medina in Eretz Yisrael, we have to go in the footsteps of our ancestors, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Haptoch and the Shvu and the Bris was with the others, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And Avram Avinu said, the Malachim asked, his wife was a Tznua. So Rav Kook was not happy about the fact that women would function as secretaries in all the offices. He thought that you shouldn't even have women as secretaries. Women should stay home. He thought it was terrible. And he thought, we'll only be zeicha to have a Medina when the women will have tznias. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, there's more preachers than in America. He walked in New York. New York is a mokum tzanua, in contrast to Tel Aviv, in contrast to other parts of Eretz Yisrael. There's much more preachers about the women than other ones. Anyway, so we pask like the Tana, that women are not mechuyev in pirei b'rivya. Because this pasuk is taken as a hemsha. Pruvu milas arutz b'chibshua. Ish darka lichbash, ish ein darka lichbash. Therefore, the women are not mechuyev to observe pirei. Even though the whole nature of the mitzvah changed after Matan Torah, it's only Yisrael. The nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. The Gemara seems to say in the first perek in Brochus that if a person has a son and a daughter, he's only arutz pirei. If they're going to be religious, if they're going to be Mechali Shabbos and Avdi Avodah Zarah, then you're not Yotze the mitzvah of Pirei Rivya. The mitzvah is Pirei Rivya. After Matan Torah, the mitzvah changed. The nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. Yeah, in the first page in Ebenezer, page Aleph Amen Aleph, the Beis Shmuel quotes in Machloek his two opinions in Tosfos. It's not in one Tosfos, one Tosfos, one Mesichta, one Tosfos, another Mesichta. He says it's two opinions among the Baalei HaTosfos. Women are not Mechuyev, we accept Lalach, women are not Mechuyev in Pirei Rivya. Maybe they're still Mechuyev in the mitzvah of Shevis. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world, Lo Tov V'Ro, Lo Shevis Yitzor. The Baruch Shalom created the world that it should be inhabited. So some opinions in Rishayim are true women are not mechuyev in pirei v'rivya, but they're still mechuyev to have children because of Shevis. So what did he gain by saying that they're not mechuyev in pirei v'rivya? It's the same thing. They're mechuyev because of mitam Shevis. So on the first page in Ebenezer, so they explain, no, for the purposes of pirei v'rivya, you have to have a son and a daughter. For the purpose of Shevis, it probably would be sufficient if you have one child. So if a woman has one child, so then she's not mechuyev to marry to have another child. Taisu says like that. Yeah. Could be. That could be. Could be. I don't know.
If a woman doesn't get married, is there a need for her to get pregnant to make him shevas from like a sperm bank or something?
No, that's not fair to the baby to bring. If you have a yosim, so it's a rachmanis. But to bring a yasim into the world, women should practice artificial insemination and have a baby without having a father. So that's not fair to the baby. Let her get married. That's not right. Okay, Tov. This Shabbos I'm going to give a share on Parshas Noach. It's not going to be recorded.
Do we hold that? Grandparents only had one child, but that one child has four children and the grandparents.
No, I had a last year. That's it.